You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you are not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5,000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5,000. Enjoy!
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
tip pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Are you ready for us to be strong? Are you ready? Are you ready for us to prove them wrong? Are you ready? Let me know you're ready to be turning into people who cannot be afraid of us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Huh? What? What the hell was that? Hi, radio folks. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Hey, everybody. I'm the Grouch. It's Wednesday night on KLRN Radio. You're home for conservative grassroots talk. And like I said, it is Wednesday, your Grand Slam.
If you'd pay your intern in more than Steak'em, he might accidentally not hit the wrong button.
You know, we're going to have to post a language warning because I'm going to say something bad about him. Oh, that little shit, he's fired. Yeah, kick it on your way out, Seymour. Kick it on your way out. Anyway, so good to be back with you. Last week was Toxic Masculinity, the little break at the end of the month we do. Hope you had fun with that. Like I said, glad to be back. And let's see if I got this right. We are Red Wine every Wednesday night now, right? Following me? That's a yes. And then we have Rick and Ordy, and then we have America Off the Rails. And that's what I'm going with because I haven't seen any kind of programming notes different.
Yep, it's the Red Wine Ladies after you, and then me and Ordy, and then just me.
That's it. I was right. Hot damn, I did it without any notes. Nobody tells me anything. What's that commercial? How do they do that? They don't tell me anything. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. What's going on in the world that we didn't have time to prep for the show? Oh, yeah, Beirut. Wow. By now, everybody's seen the video of the explosion. If you haven't, you should just go online and check it out. It is amazing. They are claiming that it was 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate, which is, part of what they used to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma City years ago, Timothy McVeigh. But I can promise you, they didn't use 2,750 tons worth. No, they did not. That was a huge explosion, and it literally leveled blocks of buildings. I'm sure we'll get more details. The numbers I saw were 50-plus dead, thousands injured. We'll see. They're still searching for bodies, so I'm sure that body count is going to go up. And it's a terrible situation. And I noticed that right off the bat that the United States, France, and Germany were the three to jump in and offer assistance. So we'll see what happens with that moving forward. Definitely a tragic situation in Beirut, Lebanon. Terrible. Let's see. What else is going on? Hey, look. Neil Young is suing the Trump campaign for copyright infringement. Trump used Keep on Rocking in the Free World, and he got into it with Neil Young over that. Apparently, the campaign did anyway, not necessarily Trump in person. But, Neil Young needs to remember, we have access at KLRN Radio to basically the same database that everybody else in the world that uses professionally done music has access to, the ASCAP library. And once you put your music out there, you are basically allowing people to purchase a license to use it. So if the campaign had a license to use it, Neil Young has no grounds on which to stand. So I don't know why he's even trying the suit other than just publicity stunt and that he hates Trump. But, what can you do about stuff like that? That's, I'm sure that's something that'll just dry up and blow away. I don't imagine much coming of that. Let's see. Texas reporting 9,000 new COVID cases. Jobless see benefits cut by more than half after $600 federal payment expires without an extension. I saw where Congress is still arguing and are long ways away from one another on an agreement. Let's see. What else is going on out there? Oh, yeah, we got a Virginia mayor that's being urged to resign after he allegedly said that Biden picked Aunt Jemima for a VP. I guess the bottle of syrup would probably actually have more cogent thoughts than Biden would, so I'm not sure how that would work out. And let's see. Do-do-do-do-do, what else? I don't know. You know, have you seen some of these teachers? Most of it's happening in, like, liberal bastions, where they're – I saw one – Iowa. I don't even know what town it was in Iowa, but there were teachers in Iowa that were making tombstones and putting them outside the school to welcome the students back to their – untimely death, because they were coming to school and getting COVID. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They were going to die. How ridiculous. You know, I need to use toxic masculinity language to describe what I'd like to do to those teachers, but being that we try to keep this mostly cleaner, I'm going to refrain from that. But anyway, suffice it to say, it really ticks me off. And that kind of garbage has no place, especially when you're trying to play on the emotions of little kids. And you're supposed to be somebody that cares for them. That just doesn't work for me. So anyway. That's pretty good for the unscripted what's going on outside of the regular stuff. I guess we'll get busy with the scripted portion of the show, which is woefully unprepared by my standards. And, I was laughed at before we came on the air over that, and we shall see how it goes. So, without further ado, I tell you that there is very little new under the sun. In the whole great big scheme of things, there's very little new. Case in point, monument and statue destruction that we are witnessing has been witnessed in other times and other places. A tyrant's first battlefield is to rewrite history. Most notable were the political purges of Joseph Stalin, the Soviet government erased figures from Soviet history by renaming cities, such as the imperial capital of St. Petersburg to Petrograd and Leningrad and Stalingrad, and eradicating memories of Tsarist rule. Stalin's historical revisions also included changing photographs and history books, thereby distorting children's learning within educational establishments. This is exactly where the left is going right now. Most of the effort to rewrite American history has its roots among the intellectual elite on our college campuses, whose message has been sold to predominantly white college students who have little understanding of how they are being used. And I actually spoke with one today from Auburn University on Twitter who definitely fits that bill. Much of their current focus is on tearing down statues and changing names that they deem offensive. They have denounced George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and even Abraham Lincoln. Without much understanding of history, they have demanded that Princeton University remove the name of Woodrow Wilson, who was a progressive, from its public policy school and residential college. Some are urging Yale University to change its name because of its factor was a slave benefactor was a slave trader. To purge our society of names associated with evil is going to be quite a task. I suggest that we set up a formal commission to deal with this formidable challenge. Maybe we can rename it the Commission to Eliminate Bad Memories. There are definitely some challenging issues. What should be done about our nation's capital, Washington, and District of Columbia? After all, George Washington owned slaves, and Columbia is the feminine form of Columbus. Speaking of Washington, it has a football team, the Redskins. They have agreed to temporarily call themselves the Washington Football Team until they can find a slightly snazzier name. Renaming things is a big job. Our military has several fighting aircraft named with what today's tyrants might consider racial slights, such as the Apache, the Iroquois, the Kiowa, Lakota, and Mescalero. Perhaps offensive to PETA, we also have military hardware named after animals such as the eagle, falcon, raptor, cobra, and dolphin. Clarence Page of the Chicago Tribune wrote, "Now that Washington's NFL team has announced its retirement of the racial slur that has been its brand name since 1933, I am tempted to gloat a little." In response to Page's article, there is an email making the internet rounds that raises naming issues. What about the Kansas City Chiefs, the Atlanta Braves, the Cleveland Indians? I can tell you right now that the Chicago Blackhawks owner has already told the media to go F themselves. But the name the New York Yankees might offend some Southerners because there is no team named for the Confederacy. So some people, particularly Catholics, might be offended or deem it sacrilegious to have sports teams named the New Orleans Saints or the Los Angeles Angels or the San Diego Padres. And then what about team names that glorify savage barbarians and criminals who raped and pillaged, such as Oakland Raiders, Minnesota Vikings, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Pittsburgh Pirates? The New York Giants and San Francisco Giants might be promoting obesity with their names, and the Milwaukee Brewers promoting alcoholism. Now, there's another naming issue that needs resolution. Despite monumental contributions, such as our Bill of Rights, George Mason was a slave owner. And therefore, in keeping with the times, George Mason University should be due for a name change, right? How about Al Sharpton University, Jesse Jackson University, or Black Lives Matter University? Does objection to these names make one a racist? We now have Illinois lawmakers and City of Chicago school board members petitioning their state to halt the teaching of all history classes until it can be rewritten in a more equitable fashion. Excuse me. Hiccups are terrible on live radio. When and where will the lunacy end? Any black American who dares stand up to the fascist demands of BLM is ridiculed as not being black, or they call him an Uncle Tom. They are not allowed to have thoughts independent of the hive mind lest they become outcasts. So again, when and where does it end? There are black Americans who are now saying that if you speak politely, you are upholding white supremacy. There are yet others that say if you speak rudely, you are upholding white supremacy. And yet another faction says if you speak intelligently, you are upholding white supremacy. But what they're all beating around the bush and saying is that they don't want white Americans to have a voice at all. Also part of the issue is the self-loathing white Americans who have hijacked a cause as an excuse to commit violent acts. This is the generation of participation trophy recipients coming of age. This is the voting bloc that the Democrats have been waiting for. But what they're finding out is that these kids hate the Democrats as much as they've been taught to hate the Republicans. These people want to destroy the U.S. as it exists and start over. The problem with their ideas is that they don't have a damn clue how to affect the change they want, so they just rage, hoping that it happens anyway. Bunch of idiots. So again, I ask, when and where does it stop? Condoleezza Rice said that the problem with the left is that liberals have preconceived notions about how black people should think. And she was commenting that she does not think the United States will ever truly be colorblind. And you know what? She's right. There's always going to be somebody that hates based on the stupidity of skin color. We can change some minds. We can change some hearts. You know, it happens. It does. But you're not going to get everybody. And unfortunately, those people are going to breed and they're going to pass on their hatred. Now, maybe their offspring can be changed later. Who knows? But to have hopes of eliminating all of it, at least in my lifetime, is unrealistic. But Condoleezza Rice said, I don't really care if we're colorblind, but I would like to get to the place when you see somebody who is black, you don't have preconceived notions of what they're capable of, who they are, by the way, how and what they think, which she says is a problem for the left. Rice herself, a prominent black Republican, said in a video interview with the New York Times, you look at someone who's black and you think you know what they think, or at least think you know what they ought to think. Rice served as National Security Advisor and then Secretary of State under President George W. Bush, and also talked about the birth defect of slavery that still results in inequality in policing, education, and economic opportunity. Now, I don't see what a lot of people see on that side of the fence. Now, granted, I'm not a black American. I am multiracial, though. I was never white enough to be white growing up. The whites shunned me because they could see that I wasn't white. The brown Hispanic community shunned me because I was too white, as did the Native American community. I had no home. It was just what I had at home. That was it. But I was taught to ignore that. I was taught to ignore it and to concentrate on myself, to be the best person I could be, and that good people would recognize that and react accordingly. And by and large, I've found that to be true. But let's get back to Rice. She said widespread school choice is necessary. I agree. She added, to handle education gaps that place poor students in public schools and wealthy ones in better school systems or in private schools. She also supports removing Confederate monuments and move to rename military bases that were named in honor of Confederate leaders, and urge President Trump to sign a defense authorization bill to force name changes. Trump, however, has threatened to veto legislation that called for changing base names. However, Rice said that there are times that taking some monuments down goes too far. She said, I actually don't know anybody who wants to defend the Confederacy and Confederate monuments. I also don't know why anybody wants to tear down a statue of Abraham Lincoln and slaves, which was actually funded by freed slaves. Now, again, I'm not a Black American, so I don't see what they see. However, being multiracial and having lived in the South all of my life, with the exception of the first few months when I was born in California, I have never seen a Confederate monument used in such a way that people describe them as being used to intimidate people. How does a statue intimidate somebody? And if we're going to start pulling down bad statues, let's talk about woman abusers. Should they have statues? What about alcoholics? Because, I mean, we can tear down Robert Byrd, Bill Clinton, and Martin Luther King Jr. statues all day long based on those criteria. King was an adulterer, he was a woman abuser, and he was an alcoholic. And that's according to people that were in his hotel room every day. So when you talk about something being bad and being evil and this has to go but this stays, you need to be careful, because what happens if the political right turns into the animals that are out on the street right now and starts tearing down monuments that the left find acceptable? Well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if the right takes to the street, knowing that the right owns the majority of the guns in this country? Is it going to take a war? I know some people say it is. I hope it doesn't. But I'm starting to lose hope. Anyway, that just about gets us to the bottom of the hour. I think what we're going to do, since that's the end of that story, is we're going to probably proceed into a slightly longer than normal commercial break. I'm sure Rick has an extra button he can push on his end to give us an extra 30 seconds to 60 seconds, something like that. And we'll go ahead
That's
and spin
not how it
the
works.
Bottom of the
That's
hour.
Not how any of this works.
Oh, come on, Granny. You can do it. Get that milkshake working.
I got you, bro. It's all good.
Anyway, so Rick's going to push the button, refresh your drink, stretch your legs, get your ass back in your seat in about 4 minutes, and let's start cranking it back up and see where we're at. All right? Talk to you then.
Through some hoops, wanna get my body loose, wanna tell you what to do. I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling, looking for a diamond. I'm trying, I'm fighting, riding in the rhythm now.
I just wanna stay on the night, wanna stay on the night, yeah.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your healthcare? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their healthcare. healthcare, freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your healthcare, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your healthcare while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Alright, welcome back. Yeah, I know. All that good music. I love that good music. Anyway, just a programming reminder here for you. Top of the hour, red wine coming up. I do not know who's on the couch. If Rick does, he can chime in. If not, that's fine.
I believe it's Jody and Jen. As far as the rotating panel, but I'm not, and they have a guest, but I don't remember the guest name.
That is fine. The lovely ladies of the red wine will be here to entertain you at the top of the hour. Just count on it. And then after that, it will be Amish and Robinson, Rick and Ordy.
Robinson and Ordy. Hordy.
Robinson and Hordy.
There we go. That's better.
Dropping the quarter in the slot, getting the boy to work again. And then America Off the Rails with Rowdy Rick for your nightcap. It's a great night. Like I said it before. I'll say it again. But anyway, let's get rolling. We still got notes to get through. President Trump signed legislation on Tuesday that will devote nearly $3 billion per year to conservation projects, outdoor recreation, and maintenance of national parks and other public lands following its overwhelming approval by both parties in Congress. Trump said he suspected there hasn't been anything like this since Teddy Roosevelt himself. And, you know, Roosevelt was an avowed environmentalist who created many national parks, forests, and monuments that millions of Americans flock to each year. Supporters say the Great American Outdoors Act is the most significant conservation legislation enacted in nearly half a century. And I remember clearly when George W. Did his Conservation Act, and they talked about what a great thing that was. It was more ocean related, but you know, Teddy created all these great parks and everything like that, and here comes Trump making sure that we have enough money to maintain them now, keep them up so we can all enjoy them. And it's a good thing. I mean, there's really no more new land to create more new national parks and such like that. So, trying to compare is completely unfair. Completely unfair. But credit where it's due. This is a good thing. And both the Democrats and the Republicans got behind it. And I think that speaks to the fact that there maybe is a little bit of hope still that good things can get done in Washington if they just put away their damn pettiness and get down to doing the work of the people. So at a White House bill signing ceremony, Trump was criticized by critics for mispronouncing the name of one of America's most famous national parks, blamed on a maintenance backlog that has been decades in the making on the Obama administration, and claimed to have deterred a march to Washington that had been planned to tear down monuments in the nation's capital. You know, look, the media is the media is the media. Okay. You know, that piece of garbage. What's his name from CNN? Yeah, I know. Right. Take your pick.
well, we got Dear Diary Acosta. We got Brian Stetler.
It was Acosta. It was Acosta. Abilio. Yeah, he was just raging that Trump didn't include any of the Democrats' names that supported this bill. So what? So what? Grow the hell up, people. It's not a backpatting session. Well, I mean, it kind of was, but yeah, guess what? The man in charge took the credit. Deal with it. That's how it happens everywhere. So the Great American Outdoors Act requires full permanent funding of the Popular Land and Water Conservation Fund and addresses the maintenance backlog facing national parks and public lands. The law would spend about $900 million a year, double the current level, on conservation, another $1.9 billion a year on improvements at national parks, forests, wildlife refuges, and rangelands. Trump, in the budget proposals he has sent to Congress, had previously recommended cutting money allocated to the fund, but reversed course and requested full funding in March. Interior Secretary David Pernart said that the law will help create more than 100,000 jobs. Hello, jobs. The maintenance backlog has been a problem for decades, through Republican and Democratic administrations. The House and Senate cleared the bill by overwhelming bipartisan margins this summer, including significant support from congressional Democrats. No Democratic lawmakers attended the ceremony, and Trump, in his remarks, only credited Republicans. Well, that's not entirely true. Asked why Democrats were not recognized, House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany said that it was because Democrats and Republicans, including the administration, have yet to agree on extending now expired coronavirus relief payments and protections. That's not exactly what Kayleigh said. That's a misrepresentation of what Kayleigh's answer was on. Her answer was a little more of a stinger. Anyway, unimportant. It was passed. It was supported by both sides. It was a bipartisan piece of legislation. Proof that we actually can still do things like that in this country. Although, granted, it's very damn rare these days. But, yeah, anyway. Daines and Gardner persuaded Trump to support the legislation, which Gardner had made the cornerstone of his reelection campaign in, Montana. The media just, they can't get enough, because Trump didn't give enough credit. The media has to force feed the Democrat names to us. But the law's opponents claim that it would not eliminate an estimated $20 billion maintenance backlog on 640 million acres of federally owned lands. The legislation authorizes $9.5 billion for maintenance over 5 years. Lawmakers from Gulf Coast states also complained that their states got too small a share of revenue from offshore oil and gas drilling that is used to replenish the conservation fund. And I will say this, as a resident of a Gulf Coast state that has suffered through oil spills and oil washing up on the beaches, we definitely deserve our fair share. So, that, take it for what it is, but that's where it's at. We're getting screwed again. You know, the state level screwed us down here on the coast. They took money away from us locally. Now the feds are screwing us, taking it away from the whole state. And who's down here at the bottom watching the oil roll in on the beach and suffering through it? That's right, the people. Ivanka Trump, the Republican president's daughter and advisor who supported the legislation, described it at the ceremony as a great legacy for the administration as well as the country. She's right. It's a great piece of legislation. It really is. Trump claimed an executive order highlighting the threat of up to 10 years in prison for defacing federal monuments was the reason a march to Washington for the sole purpose of destroying statues was canceled. People protesting racial injustice after George Floyd's death in police custody in May began toppling monuments around the country of Confederate and other figures considered racist. But no such march to Washington was ever planned, they say. Yeah, right. Okay. First of all, let's back up. People that are protesting right now are not protesting anything related to George Floyd's death. They can say what they want to. They're a lying sack of crap. Now this is all about fun and anarchy and, can we burn down a federal courthouse in Portland? And I saw where the reporter wrote, "The federal police are waiting behind the fence surrounding the courthouse inside the perimeter they built, just waiting for people to violate the law so they can pounce." How dare the police stand by and wait for crimes to be committed before they do their job. How dare they? Stupid asses. So anyway, that happened. Oh, yeah, this was interesting. Dr. Osiris Barbo resigned from her role as New York City's health commissioner on Tuesday. In her resignation letter, she said the health department's incomparable disease control expertise was not used to the degree it could have been. And I leave my post today with deep disappointment that during the most critical public health crisis in our lifetime, that the public health department's expertise was not used by this administration. She took aim directly at de Blasio. Her decision to step down comes after de Blasio took the city's COVID-19 contact tracing program away from the health department and placed it under Health and Hospitals, the agency that runs the city's public hospitals. Recently, contact tracers have lodged complaints that the program was unorganized and had poor working conditions, according to ABC News. Now, Dr. Barbeau will be replaced by Dr. Dave Chokshi, a Rhodes Scholar who worked at the Louisiana Department of Health during Hurricane Katrina and was the principal health advisor to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs during the Obama administration. Not that that's necessarily a feather in one's cap, knowing what happened during that administration with the VA. She said that she couldn't be prouder of the city's response in the face of a once-in-a-lifetime public health crisis, but that she felt they were underutilized and could have helped more. For Chokshi, he said that I keep wanting to say Chokshi's because, you know, office space, of course. But Chokshi said that he is honored to serve the people of New York City with the extraordinary team at the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. Mental hygiene. Okay. Together we will emerge from this pandemic as a stronger, fairer, healthier city. Now, that's going on while de Blasio is putting out public messages begging wealthy New Yorkers that fled the city to come back. We need your money. Come back. You know, if you could afford to live, you know, if you had a place in New York City and then you had another little place like, I don't know, out in the Hamptons or up in New Hampshire or Vermont or something like that, why in the hell would you consider going back to de Blasio's city where crime has spiked? They've got like a 187% increase in violent crime in the last month. Yeah. Hey, that's only half as much as Chicago. I mean, it's doing a great job, right? Come on. But anyway, why would you even think about it? What I would do is if I were some of these rich folks, I would actually get together in a group and pen a letter, knowing I'm never going back. But I'd want to see how de Blasio, how willing he is to bend on some of his stuff. I would make demands like, we want Big Gulps back. We want salt back in our restaurants. We want sugar. And we want a 4 mil property tax break. And just send it and see what happens. And what the hell, right? It's always new till you ask. It's crazy. Anyway, on the other side of the country, California's second round of coronavirus-related shutdowns, among the nation's strictest, are already causing pain for the most populous state's labor market and portend a deterioration in the overall U.S. employment picture for July. So when Governor Gavin Newsom announced on July 13th that indoor operations at businesses, including salons and gyms, would close to curb the resurgent virus, cases in the state have doubled in the last month. Owners scrambled to find out whether they could stay open. Some establishments, particularly restaurants, took advantage of outdoor space, but many closed completely, causing workers to be laid off a second time. Jessica Van Auken, a hairstylist at Define Me Hair Salon in San Diego, was finishing her final appointment on July 13th. When her client received a text message about the state's new shutdown measures, and suddenly her last client of the day became her last client for the foreseeable future, and she found herself applying for unemployment insurance for a second time inside of 4 months. Van Auken, who works as an independent contractor with the salon, is still waiting for her most recent unemployment claims to be processed, but she expects to receive less than $200 per week and then the extra $600 a week in federal employment that just expired. I never thought I'd be about $100 a week, said Van Auken. Clients have asked for house calls, and this time around, that may have to be an option in order for me to pay the bills. The renewed job losses in California, like Van Auken's, may have a preliminary impact in the July U.S. jobs report due Friday, and an even bigger effect in August. Analysts are expecting a sharp slowing of job gains, with payrolls projected to have risen 1.5 million in July, following 4.8 million in June. The unemployment rate probably declined to about 10.5% in July from 11.1%, but that's still well above where we were before this crisis hit. California reported 3.17 million continuing unemployment insurance claims in the week ending July 18th. Up almost 500,000 from the prior week, and more than double the second highest total in New York. That's according to Labor Department figures. At the same time, job postings in California as of July 24th were down 23% compared to January. Well, no shit. I wonder what happened that could have caused that. In Sunbelt states like Florida and Texas, where virus cases have been on the increase, bars were ordered to close in late June, but indoor operations at most other businesses have remained at least partially open since initial lockdowns were lifted. It's not just places like restaurants, though. California's seen permanent layoffs in the government and information technology sectors, pointing to longer-term challenges for the state's labor market. If a similar trend is taking place in other states, the July jobs report could be weaker than expected, she said. Over time, this is turning from a strange virus-induced recession to something more secular. Interesting term. Anyway, so California accounts for the largest number of permanent business closures in the country since the pandemic began. And that contributes to long-term job losses because there are so few openings available. Yeah, that's kind of how that works, right? Supply, demand. Luis's restaurant, an 83-year-old diner in San Francisco's scenic Land's End, decided to close for good in July, putting an end to months-long wait for its roughly 15 full-time employees to hear when they might be able to return. Many had worked there for more than a decade, said Tom Hontalus, the co-owner and grandson of the restaurant's founders. While the diner's employees are getting by on unemployment benefits, Hontalus said he doesn't know how they'll find jobs again. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And look, I got news for you. No matter what the CDC is saying, no matter what Joe Biden's camp is saying, and no matter what the media is saying. Do your homework. Learn how a virus works. Okay? There's nothing. Masks, gloves, hoods, travel bans that were enacted in January. None of that is going to stop this from spreading. It's a virus. That's what viruses do. So let's deal with that and worry about the important things. We're getting close here, so I want to go with a positive piece on the tail end of the show tonight. The King County Sheriff's Office, King County where? I'm looking. I don't see it.
I believe that's in Washington State, but don't hold me to that.
Okay, we're going to go with that until we find otherwise. We believe it's Washington State. The King County Sheriff's Department honored 5 teenagers as heroes for coming to the aid of a deputy under attack. On July 18th, around 1 a.m., Deputy Elliott was off duty driving her patrol car home after her shift when she was flagged down in the city of Auburn, Washington. Ta-da! Good job, Rick.
I used to live in King County, Washington, so I was a stab because I know there was one. I just wasn't sure if that was the right one.
There you go. You got it. Look at that, folks. More than just a hat rack there. Okay.
Barely.
He bought it. Anyway, an intoxicated man had caused a multiple vehicle collision. Deputy Elliott checked on the occupants of the vehicles involved to make sure no one was injured. The man had just caused the collision and was trying to leave the scene. Deputy Elliott had to jog up to the male and was able to grab him and advise him he was not free to leave and was being detained. The suspect immediately turned around in a fighting stance with his arms up in the air. He wrapped his arms around Deputy Elliott's neck, put her in a headlock, and began squeezing. During the struggle, she heard a group of young men yelling, "Get off of her!" The teens jumped on the subject and struggled with him as Deputy Elliott was able to get free. They held the suspect's shoulders and legs to the ground to allow Deputy Elliott to handcuff him. The sheriff's office said the deputy suffered minor scrapes and bruises but was fine. "We cannot thank these 5 young men enough for coming to Deputy Elliott's rescue," said the sheriff's office in a Facebook post. "They quite possibly saved her life." The photo that was included in the article shows them all hugging right at the scene. She's thanking them. And the teens were given the Community Heroism Award, which represents the highest honor a civilian can receive from the sheriff's department. So, congratulations to 5 upstanding young people for doing the right thing and helping out. Just goes to show you that all hope is not lost yet. So, anyway, that's it for tonight, folks. We're done. That's the show. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome right here with me every Wednesday night on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace. 1, 2, what you doing? I've been jumping through some hoops. Wanna get my body loose? Wanna tell you what to do? I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling, looking for a diamond. I'm trying, I'm fighting, riding in the rhythm now. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medication don't work. I've been here for 7 years. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.